We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. DFSOG's back in the house talking everything week 7 on FanDuel. I want to thank the sponsor here of the show. Make sure you guys head over to FanDuel.com/OG to play against us. We came up a little bit short in the entries last week, so we want to pump this thing up. We want to fill that tournament. We will discuss the results from week 6 and look at the season-long leaderboard. We'll talk more about that as we get into the meat of the show, but I want to bring in my boys here. Notorious head chopper Noto, let's start with you. NBA kicked off last night, so you may be the busiest man here in the room getting that all ready. Big slate of games in the NBA on Wednesday night, but welcome in. We know you're busy, so appreciate you carving out some time here on the OGs. How we doing, buddy?
Yeah, doing well. I'm not going to lie. My NFL research so far is very minimal, but I'm excited to do the show this week. And now, we say it every year. I really wish the NBA would spread out their schedule a little bit, you know, 7 to 8 games a night. It would be so much better than 2, 11, 2. It's just hard from a content standpoint. But, yeah, looking forward to week 7. Definitely ready to bounce back. Pretty disappointing week 6 for yours truly.
Right. And this show has always been kind of all of our initial looks at the slate. Obviously, as you get closer to Sunday and we get ownership and we get different leverage points and a lot more information injuries. But this is always that initial look. And sometimes your first gut instinct is the best instinct. So, Chop, let's go to you. How we doing? How was week 6? Are you glad the NBA is back? I mean, a lot going on right now in the sports world.
This is brutal, man. The NBA coming around here in October. This is just, come on, guys. You got to do better than this, man. It's rough. That's rough. But it is what it is. We got to deal with it. And week 6 was going pretty good. It was going good. I thought I was going to snatch a big one. Thought I had a chance there, man. And then all I had to do was fade the Dallas defense in the last 2 minutes. Oh, so much so. I wish you'd get into this right now.
Let's get into it.
I got to call. I'm going to call somebody out, not by name, but you know what? It's a type of person. So I was looking up there at the leaderboard, was doing real good with about 2 minutes left in the Dallas game. Right. I just needed to fade the Dallas defense and CeeDee Lamb, you know, just whatever. 2 minutes left. It's there's no way. Right. There's no way I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose.
Did you get the
mush?
Did somebody mush you?
And some dude on Twitter.
No
offense, no offense, fella. I'm not going to call you out because I would hate for people to berate you. Some guy on Twitter sends me, congratulations on the big week, man. And I like with 2 minutes left in the Dallas game. I'm like, oh, man, he probably shouldn't have done that. And then I mean, literally like 5 minutes later, Trayvon Diggs takes a touchdown, then a bomb, then a field goal, then overtime CD hits a 30-yard bomb for a touchdown. I literally go from winning a tournament with a nice up-top prize to losing money in the tournament. on the digs, basically on the digs thing. So guys, you just can't do that. You got to wait till the games are final, man. You just can't do that. You got to let the games go final, guys. Come on, man.
Did you know at that point? Because at that point, you're like, ah, I'm screwed here. This is like the ultimate jinx on me right now. So I like to wait even beyond like the scores may change. They may update something. Like, I don't ever want to congratulate somebody too early, even after the game's official where something may change. So I tend to give it a little. I give it like a 12-hour resting period at least. So did you know at that moment, Chop? Like you were screwed.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh man, this can't end well. You just can't do that to it. You just can't do that, man. You just can't do that to somebody. Unless now there is a such thing, and there's some spiteful people out there who do it on purpose. They're trying to reverse jinx you. They're trying to anti root for you, you know, and those are the worst kind, but I don't think this was the case, although you never know, but you just got to be careful, man. Just if you really do want somebody to win, just keep the gun in the holster, man, until it's all final. That's all I say.
Right. There's definitely some haters out there for sure. So hopefully that this guy was not a hater. I'm glad he didn't call him out by name, but general rules of thumb here. Let things settle first. So, well, good to hear you're close. And generally, when you're close, that means that the big one's coming. I believe I saw you in the top 50 of the OGs, Chop. So, you much better performance than we've had so far this season.
That's good. Yeah, I need to find a little rhythm here, maybe.
It's coming. It's the beauty of NFL, man. Once you get on a roll, things can start going. So if you guys are out there listening, YouTube, we want to hear from you. We'll be keeping an eye on the chat, answering your questions. So chat's been great here the last couple of weeks. So let's talk it up over there. Again, head over to FanDuel and check out the sponsor of the show. Lots of offerings over at FanDuel. It's not just DFS, sportsbook, horse racing, casino. I mean, there's something there for everybody. And of course, our contest over there. This is designed for you guys. You know, we want to play against you guys, give you the opportunity to play against us. FanDuel.com/OG. $7 entry. So a price point for everybody. Everybody gets one lineup. So the old single entry contest, everybody loves, with season-long implications as well. You see right there on the leaderboard, very easy. Click the play now button. You can set your lineup. You can reserve a spot, come back and set it later. And of course, there's a season-long leaderboard as well. Your top 10 scores. So we got 18 weeks of games. This will go the entire regular season. Only your top 10 scores will count. So whether if you've had some rough weeks, if you have not played all of the weeks, if you're just getting started here in week 7, still time to jump in and win this thing. Whoever sits atop that leaderboard at the end of the year is going to walk away with $5,000 in additional prizes. So we got that going on. We also have the Roto Grinders badge contest remaining. It was close. There was quite a few RG badges in the top 10. And we'll recap some of the top scores here later on in the show. Saw about 4 or 5 badges in the top 10, but top spot did not have the RG badge. So that contest and that promotion will continue. If you change your icon on FanDuel to the Roto Grinders logo, you win one of these weekly contests. We're only going to hand this out once. So you're the first one to do it. You're going to win an entire year of Roto Grinders premium combo, all the sports, over $1,000 in free stuff, free premium at Roto Grinders. So it doesn't make sense to not do it. Go ahead and change your icon over on FanDuel to Roto Grinders for a chance at a free year of premium. So guys, anything before we get into the games, anything you want to discuss here before we start diving in here on this week 7 slate, Derek?
Yeah, you know, this might be a little late for a strategy talk for the OG contest, but I was thinking I'm treating this as like any single entry where I'm eating a lot of chalk, looking to make a few pivots here and there, trying to finish, you know, in the top 10%, whatever it is in these tournaments, but only the top 10 scores count. So maybe I should be treating this more like a large field GPP where I'm looking to, you know, finish in the top 1%. If you get 5 of those, you're going to be sitting pretty. So what are your thoughts on instead of treating this just like a regular small field type of tournament, you know, kind of taking a more risky approach?
That's been my outlook, a Ricky Bobby type approach. Like, I you know, I'm either going to be first or last here, and unfortunately it's been more of the latter, but I'm definitely trying to shoot for those, you know, the 160s, 170s, 180s on FanDuel, and try to accumulate a few of those, and you'll be sitting pretty. So I think that is probably the approach I prefer rather than the kind of steady across the board. But Chop, agree, disagree? How are you handling this tournament?
I usually make like three lineups on FanDuel by hand on Sunday morning and enter them in GPPs. I don't really play cash anymore. Very, very, very rarely. So it's all GPPs for me. And they are, this lineup will go on one of those lineups. This contest will go on one of those GPP lineups. So, but I think that's kind of the beauty of this one is it can be anything. If you want to grind out cash finishes, it's a pretty good payout structure week by week. If you want to chase that big money at the end, then you can go more GPP outlook. So, hey, you can do a lot of different things with it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, and that's the beauty of this. And there's not many tournaments out there that are weekly along with a season-long leaderboard. So, again, head over to FanDuel.com/OG. We'll call out the top five performers from week six here as we move along. And, again, chat, we want to hear from you. You guys got questions you want answered. We are here to help you out through week seven. So let's go through the games here, guys. Again, we'll cover the main slate. As always, we got an ugly Thursday night game with Cleveland and Denver. So glad we're avoiding that one. So let's jump in. First game on the docket, we have Washington at Green Bay. Green Bay -8.5 here. Pretty high total at 49. So Chop, we'll start with you this week. Washington, obviously a big disappointment last week. Taylor Heinicke, McLaurin, I thought they were in a smash spot against Kansas City. They let us down. Ricky Seals-Jones continues to play well, but injury is really the story here. As of this recording, no practice on Wednesday for Antonio Gibson, McLaurin, Samuel, or Ricky Seals-Jones. So certainly a team we're going to have to keep an eye on. Green Bay, big win on the road in Chicago last week. Usual suspects there. I think Davante Adams in an amazing spot here this week. In fact, he's probably my favorite spend at any position this week. Washington been terrible against opposing passing games. So, Chop, how are you handling this one? Big total, big spread here. Obviously, the injuries are tough to kind of work through here on a Wednesday. But what do you got here, football team and the Packers?
Well, I think the Packers are pretty easy every single week. They've got a big three, and they're always going to be in play. And they're very rarely going to be out of play. So the big three. And then after that, like, I just never do get into trying to guess Alan Lazard game or a Marquez Valdes-Scantling game. So I don't mess with anybody else except for the big three, in which case this week, I love that combination of Rodgers to Adams, like you said. And just when you think it's going to be them, though, Aaron Jones could sneak in there for like a three-touchdown game. So that's why they're all three in play. But I do like that passing attack there for Rodgers to Adams this week. On the flip side, on Washington, I really got burned by Heinicke last week. He was just felt like a really good game script was going to come, and he was terrible. And I think a lot of it had to do with Terry McLaurin, who's not healthy, and that's their number one guy and the biggest threat. And obviously, it would help to have the other guy, you know, Curtis Samuel and all those other guys back, and Logan Thomas. But Terry McLaurin is what makes this offense go. And when he's not healthy, everybody suffers. So I don't know about them this week, man. That was a nut low performance from Heinicke last week. I don't know how much better they can be on the road at Green Bay, who's not a bad defense. So I'm a little leery of that. But altogether, give me the number on this game again. I need to know what my final number is I'm looking at here.
We have Green Bay -8.5, and the total is sitting at 49.
I think Green Bay – okay, I'll play this game right here. I'll play the game where I know Aaron Rodgers is going to score a lot of points here, this offense. And I'll take, although I won't roster Heinicke in DFS, I'll kind of hedge it and think if he has a decent game, this game's going to go over. So I'll hedge it and I'll take the over on this game, even though I won't have the Washington side very much in DFS. I want the over on this game.
All right, I'm pretty much with you in DFS. For me, it's going to be a lot of Adams. Aaron Jones makes me a little nervous here. Washington definitely been more vulnerable against the pass. I agree on some of those secondary receivers, you know, Cobb and Lazard. I'm not going to mess with any of that. Sneaky play on Washington could be McKissick on DraftKings more so in a PPR format, especially if Gibson's banged up or misses this game. They're likely playing from behind, so he could kind of fill a big pass catching role on this team. I'm going to disagree though. I'm going to go under on this 49. The number seems a little bit too high here. Green Bay can get into some of these ugly games as well. And I don't know how much offense this Washington team is going to be able to muster up. So opposite ends for us, Chop. I'll go under here. Noto, let's go to you here. So we're kind of on opposite ends here, but we're pretty much on the same page with DFS. So agree with that. Are you seeing anything on the Washington side of interest here in this one?
I'm going to be watching the injury report for sure. I do have a little bit more interest in Washington, assuming McLaurin is able to play. I mean, I know he's been banged up, but he did have a full allotment of snaps last week. Still saw 8 targets and no Jair Alexander for the Packers. So if they are trailing, if he's going to get a bunch of garbage time production, I don't mind that. The price point's pretty good. I like the McKissick call on DraftKings. He ended up out snapping Gibson last week. And then Ricky Seals-Jones, I mean, he's turned into pretty much an every down player. Pretty good matchup for him as well. He's one of those guys that if you're punting a tight end, I don't mind going back to him. He got that long touchdown last week. So I have a little bit more interest in Washington. Probably not going to play Heineke, though. And in general, when you're not playing the quarterback, you probably shouldn't be loading up on the wideouts. But I have a little interest there. I agree with you guys on the Packers. I mean, Washington, dead last in fantasy points allowed, 2 wide receivers. So, yeah, give me Adams. And it's kind of a squeaky wheel game for him, too. Only had 5 targets last week. So agree with that. And I'm going to take the Packers. I just think they're a much better football team at this point.
All right, Green Bay for Noto. And Adams been so good at home as well. I looked up to the start of last season, and this guy scored like 12 touchdowns in his last 11 games. He basically gets double-digit targets every single time he's at home. And 6 or more receptions in 10 straight. So I know people don't like those home road splits, but he definitely is a better option at home. Not to say he's bad on the road, but certainly gets it done at Lambeau. So bullpen bets in the chat says Washington. So we're all over the board on this one, and over and under a Green Bay and a Washington. So we're covering all aspects. And then Lawyer Stories, been around for a long time, big supporter of my 6-pack video. So I got to give him a shout out. I appreciate you hanging out here with the OGs on a Wednesday afternoon. All right, let's go to the next game, guys. Carolina and the Giants. We got Carolina -3 here on the road, Derek. A small total at 43. So Carolina, disappointing last week. I had a money line bet on them. Looks like they were in the game, end up coming up short in overtime to Minnesota. And then we have the Giants, another team. Very much injuries are the stories here. So looks like no Saquon once again this week. Galladay banged up. So this team kind of in shambles as well. Derek, kind of ugly here. I really like Chuba Hubbard in this game. It's kind of the one shining star here. He's getting a ton of work in that backfield. Still feels too cheap across the industry, $6,100 on DraftKings. So a big fan of Chuba Hubbard. Outside of that, I'll probably stay away from this one. So what do you got here, Carolina and the Giants?
Yeah, I think same route as you. I like Chuba a little bit. 65% snap rate back-to-back weeks. You know, they no longer – I think they cut Rodney Smith or demoted him, something like that. So he's no longer losing that pass-catching work. They're favorites here. The Giants have struggled against the run and the pass. Don't mind going back to DJ Moore in tournaments. He still saw 13 targets last week, so he's still getting the bulk of the work there. And he's kind of due for that big week, a couple of back-to-back, you know, poor performances. We did see Anderson get on the board, but I still trust the targets that are going towards DJ Moore. And on the Giants side, yeah, it's pretty ugly. I mean, Booker's fine. If you need a really cheap running back, he's probably going to see the majority of snaps there. But Carolina 7th in DVOA against the run, so not a great matchup. And too many guys, you know, just getting targets in the passing game right now. So agree with you. Not a lot to like from a DFS perspective. And I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to go over on this one. It just, the number feels a tad low. I don't like a ton from DFS. And generally, when you're going an over, you think you'd have more plays out of the game. But I think both of these teams can definitely, you know, get 20, 24 points and kind of get by this number. So I'm going to go other side of that one. I'm going to go over. Chop, break the tie here, add a spread bet. Kind of ugly DFS. My question, Chuba Hubbard, yes or no this week?
I think Hubbard's in play. He's getting a little bit better every week. So I think Hubbard's in play, and I think DJ Moore's in play. And the rest of this game looks pretty ugly for DFS. Giants were really bad last week. Some of it was because they faced a really good defense, but, man, they were terrible. So don't know if that's a route I want to hang my lineups on is the Giants side. So I'm in for Hubbard. I'm in for DJ Moore. And on the flip side, I'm just not feeling the Giants very much. And I know this is such a sucker bet, man. You just don't take favorites on the road. You just can't do it. But I just can't go. I can't go Giants. I think they're really bad right now. So I got to take Carolina. Something inside me believes in Carolina. I think they're actually a decent team. So I'm going to play them here minus the points.
Yeah, I'm with you. I still believe in them as well. I still think they have a good defense. DJ Moore, a couple down weeks. I was expecting a bounce back last week, so maybe it comes this week. Robbie is getting more targets. Again, I like Hubbard. We've seen good Sam Darnold. Going back to New York, we'll see if he sees ghosts here against the Giants in that stadium he's all too familiar with. But kind of an ugly game. Let's transition to one that should have a lot more fireworks, guys. Kansas City. In Tennessee, huge total here. In fact, highest total I think we've gotten all season long at 57.5. Kansas City sitting at -5.5. So, Chop, we'll stay with you here. Tennessee was impressive behind Derrick Henry, getting it done once again in a tough matchup. I faded him on Monday nights. So you know how my showdown slates went that night. Huge night for the big dog. Kansas City, big win in Washington. So, it looks like they're back on track here. So this one of those games, Chop. Everybody's in play. We know the characters on Kansas City. Darrell Williams was even good last week. Derrick Henry is always in play here. Those receivers for Tennessee, Tannehill, is that a way we can get different in this game?
Yeah, you know what? I think you just hit it. I just think you hit the key to this game is looking at Kansas City, and Tennessee's at home, and everybody will want that Derrick Henry again, especially after that game. So he'll be wildly popular, and thus Tannehill and his receivers will kind of be a little bit under-owned. So I'm with you on that one. I actually think this could be the A.J. Brown game, breakout game. He's getting a little bit healthier, and Julio's banged up again. So I think A.J. Brown's about ready to erupt. So I like that part of it. On the other side, Kansas City, they're all in play again. The big three, Mahomes, Kelce, Tyreek in play every week. And I think we can add Darrell Williams now to like one of these just solidified as one of the better backs in fantasy until Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back. Anybody in this offense that's at running back getting 72% of the snaps, which is what he got last week, is in play because anybody can score multiple touchdowns in that spot. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire had so many opportunities in his short career to score like 2 or 3 touchdowns a game. And he just always blew him. He always got stuffed. Darrell Williams didn't get stuffed. So I'm starting to think maybe it's more of a problem with CEH than it is with the actual offensive line or anything. So Darrell Williams in play. Big total here. I wish it was a little lower because I'd love to go over on this game. But that's so big, I don't think I could do that. Oh, man. And then they're throwing a big number out at us too, man. So I just got to bite the bullet here. Oh man, I'm gonna have to do it. Second game in a row, I'm gonna have to take a road favorite. I'm buried this week. I'm already buried this week, and I can't even get out of it. But I can't go Titans coming off a short week. I gotta go Kansas City.
I'm just disagreeing with everything you say. It feels weird. One of us is gonna be right. One of us is gonna be wrong. I'm gonna go with Tennessee here, and I have those same concerns. Short week, no doubt. But maybe that win against Buffalo took everything out of them, but. Kansas City never covers the damn spread. I mean, they're like 2-14 or something crazy here. So I think the Titans can keep this game close. They definitely have the potential to win this game, kind of getting everything back on track. And again, I think Tannehill to Brown, we'll see the health of Julio. Run it back with a Darrell Williams is kind of a way to get different in this game. And maybe it's a hot take. I don't think there's a huge drop-off from CEH to Darrell Williams. I mean, he's great in pass protection, catch the ball out of the backfield. The touchdown upside is there just playing in this offense. And I think those are going to be your lower-owned guys. Williams will have some steam from last week, but nobody wants to play A.J. Brown here, Derek. So agree with that, disagree, and then settle the tie here. Or are you going to go a total here to just throw things all over the place? What do you got in this one?
Yeah, right off the bat, am I seeing this right? Derrick Henry's $11,000 on FanDuel.
Let me go check that out.
I mean, that price is absolutely
he's
wild.
11K on wow. That's good though. That's good. We don't want to 40%.
It's good. But I mean, you look at his numbers, 35, 31, 25, 18, 45 fantasy points. So, this guy is just crushing week in and week out. It's obviously a good matchup against the Chiefs. I don't know if I could pay that much, but we've seen they haven't gone away from him even when they've gotten down pretty big this season. So if he's going to get 30 more touches, you never know. So maybe keep him in your player pool, especially for tournaments. But I kind of agree with you guys. I like the passing game a little bit. Don't mind taking a shot on Tannehill, Brown, Jones. They are all fine with me. Casey, bottom two against the pass, bottom two against the run. So they should be able to put up points at home even on the short week. And then the Chiefs, we know what to expect. I mean, it's Mahomes, Kelce. and Tyreek. And then, Darrell Williams, I didn't play him last week. I'm a little bit bummed that I didn't. Ended up playing 72% of the snaps. And like Chop mentioned, he scored the touchdowns. That's kind of what I was worried about. I thought they would all come through the air. So certainly in play at his price point right now, he's kind of popping as the number one point per dollar option in our projections. So I like everybody in this game. And for that reason, just give me the over.
All right, over. So nothing on the parlay card yet. We are all over the board. So we'll see if we can come
together. Speaking of last week's parlay card.
Oh, boy. We're not. Last week was a disaster, by the way. All of us. I was going through my picks, and I'm like, man, I'm buried this week. And then I started doing your guys, and nobody gained ground is all I'll say. So we'll update that here momentarily. But let's move on to our next game. Atlanta and Miami. Atlanta -2.5 here, and this one has seen a lot of line movement. Miami started out as a favorite. Now it's swung over to the Atlanta side. A total of 47.5 here, Derek. So Miami coming back home. You're feeling good. I know Jacksonville gets their first win in their home stadium over there in London. Atlanta, are they coming off a bye? I believe. Yeah, coming off a bye. So interesting game here. Looks like weather may be an issue. I know it's early in the week, but I'm seeing some red there on our Roto Grinders page. So what do we got in this game, Derek? Atlanta and the Dolphins.
Yeah, these are two teams that I don't love to target really, but it's a good matchup for Miami. They're playing at home. You can maybe go to Mike Gesicki or Devontae Parker. Still don't trust the running backs here. I know Gaskin had a big game a couple weeks ago, but yeah, there's enough running back plays that I don't really need to take the risk with him. And then Atlanta, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson just continues to score each and every week. He was up to 59% snap rate before the bye. So, I mean, they're trying to work him in there, but I mean, we were paying a super premium for him. And it's just hard to do. I mean, eventually he's not going to score a touchdown every five touches or whatever it is right now. So I'll be off of him. I'll go to Ridley. I know he was a little bit banged up and ended up missing the game in London. So should be well rested. It's a good price point. We're waiting for that breakout game. I know a lot of people will be scared off by the secondary for Miami, but I believe Xavien Howard ended up missing last week's game. So that's something to keep an eye on throughout the week. And then Pitts finally had the good game. So maybe it's finally time for him to get going a little bit. As far as my pick, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a strong take, so I'll just take the points with the home team.
All right. Has there been a more disappointing team than Miami? I mean, I really thought that they were going to take the next step here, and I know they've dealt with some injuries with Tua in and out of the lineup. Xavien Howard, like you mentioned, did miss that game last week, but, man, they just look bad, Chop. I mean, Miles Gaskin was a wasted draft pick in the so-called running back dead zone that's living up to its name in season-long drafts. Cordarrelle Patterson, do we ever see the day that he'd be this expensive across the industry? I believe he's 8K on FanDuel. So this one's a weird one. I'm just going to go under on this game. I don't have a ton. I do like Ridley to bounce back here. I don't hate Pitts as we don't have a lot of tight end options. Jalen Waddle, we saw get a ton of targets with Tua back in the lineup. So he could be interesting as a cheap dart. But give me the under in this one, Chop, and not a ton of interest here outside of those names I just gave. So where are you at on this one, Falcons and Dolphins?
I think this is a big game for Calvin Ridley. I like that side of it. And Miami is, I think the bye week is going to do them really well. So I expect Tua to have a pretty good game here. And that means Waddle or whoever's healthy, Gesicki. If Parker's in there and healthy, that's fine. But I think Tua has a nice bounce back game. And I don't mind stacking that one up. Tua and a target. And run it back with Ridley. I think Ridley's the guy. Although Pitts did look good, but Ridley, this will be 21 days when he steps on the field. 21 days off from his last football game. So he's had plenty of time to rest up, heal, get right. I feel like guys like that, I always like to look at the guys like that. They're a little bit ahead of the curve. So for this pick here, I think that I keep losing on Miami. I gotta ride the train. Eventually they'll cover a spread here and I'll get something back. So give me Miami.
All right. I think that's the first one. You even have two of us on the same line. So we're getting there. Eventually we're going to find one that we agree on, both you guys on Miami and I'm on the under. All right. Next game, Jets and New England. We have Patriots -7 here at home. An ugly low total here, Chop, 42.5. New England, Almost had that game against Dallas. Scored a lot more points in that game than I was expecting. You know, Mac Jones, pretty much just a game manager. I don't see a huge upside there. Damian Harris was solid. Ramondre Stevenson got involved here. So I think he's intriguing. Is he intriguing enough to play in DFS? Other side, the Jets, it's just ugly. It's tough to find anything to like on that side of the ball, Chop. What do you got here, Patriots and Jets?
Yeah, very, very boring offenses here. Bad fantasy game. Stevenson, I'm glad he's getting some snaps and a little bit of action, but it's not enough right now just yet. Even though I think he's the more talented running back here, and he should get some more action, but he's just not. And outside of that one long touchdown, I can't believe that happened, by the way. That really helped to bury me. Mac Jones hasn't done anything all year, and all of a sudden he hits for an 80-yard bomb to Kendrick Bourne. It's incredible stuff. You can't write this stuff. It's so crazy. But that's just a boring offense. Don't want any part of that. People keep going back to the Jacoby Myers. I guess he's maybe a cash game play for people. I don't play cash, but I just can't go there in tournament. I don't see any upside on Myers in tournaments. So I'm out on that offense. The Jets, I'm definitely out on that offense this week. Wow. Spread. I really want to say New England's playing better, man. They competed with Tampa, you know. That's a tough match. They competed with Dallas real hard. And now they get the Jets at home. So it should be a New England game. But I'm going to take the under here because I can't trust a big 7-point spread with Mac Jones as managing my game. So I'm taking the under here.
Yeah, Derek, this one is just ugly, and Chop laid it out pretty well. Jacoby Myers finally scores, and they call it back. So this dude's never going to score a touchdown. So I agree. It's just more so on DraftKings just to try to get the PPR, I guess, with him. But you're right, Chop. There's not a ton of upside. He's been good, no doubt, but I don't think he's helping you win a tournament. I guess Hunter Henry, Derek, is pretty intriguing. Kind of taking over between him and Jonnu as far as snaps, production, finding the end zone, but – all in all, this one's ugly. I'm going to take New England minus the 7 here. I think they control this game. Their defense is good enough to fluster Zach Wilson and his Jets offense. So New England minus 7 for me, and really DFS, I'm pretty much hands off here, Derek. Any more optimism here in this game?
I have even less optimism than you guys. Full fade for me from a DFS standpoint. Give me all the Patriots defense in this one. And, you know, we saw what they did to Zach Wilson in week one. I think they ended up winning 25-6. We know Belichick against rookie quarterbacks is just has an outstanding record. So give me their defense and give me the Pats to cover this spread pretty easily.
All right. The first time I'm not on an island here this week. So welcome, Derek. Next game. Let's get out of this one. That one's ugly. Baltimore and Cincinnati. The next game, Baltimore -6, over under sitting at 47. Both teams coming off impressive victories. Cincinnati goes into Detroit and hands our one thing we agreed on last week and flushes it down the toilet, puts a pounding there on Detroit 34-11. And Baltimore with a convincing win at home against the Chargers 34-6. So, Derek, two teams riding high here. Something's got to give in division. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When it came to the Lions and Bengals last week, I went to put my own money on the Lions, and I'm like, wait, do I really want to do this? And I did it anyway because, you know, it was the only one we agreed on. But that clearly backfired. As far as this game goes, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase just continues to crush. T. Higgins, I mean, continues to rate out in projection models. And sometimes you just got to chase the production. I mean, at this point, it's hard not to go look at Chase, and still pretty good price point around the industry. Baltimore's secondary isn't what it used to be. They've lost a couple key guys back there, so you can attack them downfield. I'll still have a couple shares of Higgins here and there. Mixon looked pretty good last week. He was getting a lot of targets as well. So if it's a game where they're going to be trailing, I like Burrow, I like Mixon, I like Chase, all those guys. The problem is they just don't want Burrow to go back and throw it 40 times a game, but the efficiency can still be there, and this might be the week that they have to let him loose if they want to win this division game. So I like a lot there. Ravens, pretty easy. I mean, Lamar, a great play each and every week. Got a little unlucky. I think the running back scored 3 touchdowns or something like that last week. Just the old dusty running backs were all getting in the end zone for Baltimore last week. But give me Lamar to bounce back. I like pairing him up with Brown or Andrews, and they're passing enough that you could even do a double stack with him. We wouldn't be able to do that in years past, but he's been so good this year through the air that you can finally do it. And I will take I think that total looks a little low, so give me the over.
Yeah, there was nothing more frustrating than owning Lamar last week. And like I said, all the dusty-ass running backs keep scoring touchdowns. So frustrating for sure. I really like Joe Mixon in this one. I know generally we don't want to take running backs against Baltimore. I think part of that is just thinking back over the years. But I liked what I saw last week. He's heavily involved. I know Evans got the touchdown last week, but Mixon still feels a little bit too cheap in this one. And I want to go back to Lamar. I'm interested to see where the ownership lands. He was very popular last week. Do people have that bad taste in their mouth? You know, the audience is much smarter these days. So I don't think you have as much recency bias. But like you said, Derek, maybe a Lamar paired with Hollywood and Andrews, even a Bateman got in on some of the action. I think he's a cheap option and run it back with a Mixon or a Chase. I like that call as well. I'm going to go with Cincinnati here, though. I think the Bengals have shown they can be competitive with very good teams. This is a divisional game. I think there's some recency bias as far as Baltimore's performance last week baked into this line, but it started to come down a little bit. It was 6.5, down to 6 now. So give me the Bengals plus the points here. So once again, Chop, we're all over the board in the betting market. We're all trying to position ourselves here in our little competition and not agreeing on much here, which is good. But where do you come out here? We got an over, we got a Cincy bet, agree, disagree. Bengals, Ravens, what do you got?
Yeah, for DFS, I think you guys nailed it pretty much spot on. And there's not much more I need to go into that. I keep thinking Baltimore is not as good as the record indicates in it. And then somehow last week they go in and they just absolutely destroy the LA Chargers. So it's just nuts how that works. I don't know how that happened. And I would love nothing better than to bet against Baltimore this weekend. But you got this Bengals team, another road game, you know, got to go on the road again. All that traveling, Baltimore's chilling at home again. So, man, they should be able to do something here. But I don't want to play that because I just don't think they're as good. So I guess with all that being said, I do like the passing on both sides enough to where let's take the over here. Why not?
All right. A couple overs. So, man, you guys are you're setting yourself up here. It's going to be a good week, bad week, and this will be interesting. This is where we're going to start to see some separation in our picks. But I want to catch up on the chat here. Marcus Murphy, appreciate the shout-out. Says the OG's Pod, a weekly must-listen. Keep up the good work, gents. So we appreciate that, Marcus. Shlomo says, what's up, guys? Got fourth last week, so love to see it. Said, no idea why you played Javonte Williams over Khalil Herbert. Costs $4K plus first in the contest. So, hey, new week over at FanDuel.com/OG. Go and reserve your entry today. And, Chop, we had a question for you. Living with Damron wants to know if we can call field goals banging threes so that you can make a joke or two about colleagues and their sexual wins. So what do you got there with some banging threes? We don't talk many field goals here on the show. I mean, everyone loves a good sexual innuendo, Chop. So can we make this work here?
I mean, you could, but that particular joke and who it was directed at is off the table now because that guy got married. So we can't be messing around talking like that anymore. But, yeah, go for it. Bang some threes, man. Banging some threes. We call that we got to – we have to change up. It's no longer called a blank blank. We'll call when you bang a three, we'll call that a Dino. We'll call that a Dean.
There you go. Nothing but good old Dean. We love Dean, man. We really do. So
we need to check the standings and see if he's moved up or up or down.
Yeah, why don't we do that right now, Chop? Why don't you fire that up and I'll pull up the last week's contest. So week 6, we'll give a shout out as we do each and every week to our top 5 finishers. So in 5th place last week, we had what you got, Chop?
You just always love to open up a scoreboard and see a good urinal cakes in 2nd place. Guys, that come was, on. Your name needs to represent you, man. Come on.
I mean, that's solid, though. I saw the same when I looked at it earlier. I literally laughed when I saw that. So we'll get to urinal cakes here in a minute. Almost took down the free year of Roto-Grinders Premium in 2nd place. But 5th place, we had Pokey. 162.38, so solid score there. Survived the down game from Lamar Jackson. Some big scores from CeeDee Lamb, Darrell Williams, Jonathan Taylor, and Joe Mixon in that lineup, so congrats to him. Shlomo, like we just talked about, let's take a look at their lineup. Had a Mahomes, Tyreek stack going on, ran it back But Ricky Seals-Jones, big game from Cooper Kupp. Joe Mixon, a down game from Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know he was pretty high on last week, 14%. He disappointed, but solid lineup there, 163. And mentioned Javonte Williams, just 8 points in that lineup. So I see what you were doing, though. I had some Javonte as well. Thinking Gordon was banged up. So solid lineup there. Third place went to D. Montgomery. Rocking the Michigan State logo. Got to change that into an RG logo. But he had the Dak CeeDee Lamb combination. Very low owned, 1%, 1.6% on Dak and just 5% on CeeDee Lamb. Also had Joe Mixon in that lineup, Cooper Kupp, and survived the down game from Kareem Hunt. But good for third place. The aforementioned Urinal Cakes 88, rocking the RG badge. Second place in this tournament, 170.84. Matthew Stafford in that lineup and Cooper Kupp. So the solid combination there. Darrell Williams in this lineup. Jonathan Taylor, Joe Mixon. So seeing a lot of the same faces here. But first place went to, let's see, Babalu Buford, 177.34. So won this thing by almost 7 points behind Joe Burrow, Mixon, and Chase. So the old triple stack there of the Cincinnati Bengals. Also had Cooper Kupp, Darrell Williams, and Jonathan Taylor. Big performers in that lineup. So congrats to Babalu Buford on winning this one. Chop, where do we stand season long? Who's running away with this thing? You see any familiar names there in the top 10, 20 or so? What do we got on this season-long leaderboard?
Yeah, there's a – no, it's tied. It's going to be tied here. With all the scores dropped, these things change every week. But, the guys who are up top right now, they've done well, but they've played every week. And they're getting it done. So you can definitely still make up ground for sure. Make up ground. So you got that. The first one that jumps out to me was we got our boy Yisman in the top 20 here. All Yisman's right. A big Discord guy, and he's always tuned into the shows we do. So we appreciate Yisman up there. I see Noto's still up in I want to say like 46 or something along those lines. Noto's still 46. He's hanging in there. Dean moved down. Dean's down to I think 66, but DB's in 58th place. So those guys are all on the front page here. You got to give them credit for that. They're hanging tough. I don't think I moved up enough to be on any front page news here. So that's something we got to work on this week. Maybe this week is the week.
Yeah, we'll be moving on up, Chop. I feel a run coming on for both of us here. So, it goes to show. Everyone has their tough weeks. We are not immune to that either. So, but you just keep plugging away. Trust the process, and I think we're getting there slowly but surely. Now, the picks I mentioned, we got to cover it because we can't hide from when we make mistakes. And, again, I'm going through my picks, and we made 10 picks last week, and I only got 3 right. And I was like, oh, there goes my lead. But guess what? We all had 3 correct last week. So nobody gained any ground here in our competition. So the standings remain the same. Chop sitting at 33. Noto at 34, and I am at 35. So somehow maintain my lead through a 3-7 week. So hoping for a better performance here this week.
I know that I was sitting there in the afternoon, and I know what I bet. And I had all the unders in those afternoon games, man. And I'm watching, and they're all just shootouts. And it's Dallas, New England, Denver, and Las Vegas, and they're all just shooting out. And I don't even know how it's shooting out, but I shot an over in the afternoon, man. That's for sure.
Well, we're going to get into afternoon games here. And the tale of this, we got one close game, but a lot of big spreads coming up that we're going to talk about. So 4 games left here. You're listening to the DFS OGs podcast presented by FanDuel. Make sure you guys go and enter our season-long single entry competition at FanDuel.com/OG. Only 500 spots available. And we appreciate all of your guys' support. All right, let's move on to our next one. I mentioned one competitive game here. Potentially in the afternoon, that's Philadelphia and the Las Vegas Raiders. Vegas small 3-point favorites here, total up to 49 here. So, Chop, let's stay with you in this one. The Raiders, like you mentioned, kind of a shootout there with Denver last week. Philadelphia, this looks to be a good spot for them as well. I mean, Jalen Hurts just continues to get it done each and every week. We saw Zach Ertz shipped off. I really like Dallas Goedert. If he's back in that lineup, Vegas has struggled with tight end. So we'll see if he's able to get activated from that COVID list. But this is a game. I think there's a lot in play here on both sides. I think even a Josh Jacobs could be in play. We've seen Kenyon Drake get more involved in this offense. So, Chop, this feels like a stackable game. Am I giving too much credit to this one, or you have the same level of interest here?
No, it feels good on paper. It feels good on paper with these guys. You said Jalen Hurts. I'll pull up his profile, and the salaries are fine this week on him. There may not be a better cash game quarterback. I don't play cash games, but my God, he has never flopped as a starter in the NFL so far. His team's not good enough to get out ahead so that they're just nursing the clock in the fourth quarter. They're usually playing catch-up, and he's got the rushing. He's got he clicks every single box on cash game quarterback, so he's always in play. Unfortunately for this team, the running backs are never in play. They just don't get it to him enough in a good spot. So, but you could pair him. I personally don't think you have to stack Jalen Hurts, but if you did, you know, he's got some. Devontae Smith is fine. I still believe Quez Watkins is okay. And go there. Now that we forgot to, I don't think we mentioned it, that Zach Ertz is gone now. He got traded. That's an oddity to see a starting wide receiver or tight end traded midseason. You just don't see that usually. So they got rid of him, opened up for Dallas Goedert. Maybe he busts out now. And for the Raiders, give them credit, man. I thought they were going to totally collapse last week after the Gruden thing and all that they've been through. But they went out and put it on Denver on the road. So got a lot of respect for that team. I hate to bet against them and stuff. So Derek Carr, just steady as a rock with his passing. Henry Ruggs looks like he's taking a step up his second year. Don't mind him. Darren Waller, the biggest fraudulent star tight end out there, right? Like,
oh, damn.
I mean, he gets all kinds of credit for being like he's the next closest thing to Kelsey. He never gets there for me. Maybe in that week one, he was good, but I've never seen him get there other than, you know, a few games a year. So I don't know, man. I may have to just start calling a spade here, man. He might be a fraudulent guy. So, but, you know, they're all in play. It looks like a good game. With that being said, you know, I can't go 0-for in the afternoon again, man. I got to hit something this week in the afternoon. Jesus, come on. Give me something. So I took all unders last week in the afternoon. Every game went over. There's no way, right? There's no way they all go over again. So give me the under again. Give me the under in this game.
All right. I mean, Darren Wall, I get it. But to call the guy out and call him a fraud, man, that's a little hot take-ish there, Chop. So I think this is a good bounce-back spot for him. Philly not been great against tight ends. Derek, I really like Josh Jacobs here. Please talk me off the ledge. I mean, he's been okay. We haven't seen a massive game out of him. The yards per carry have been terrible, but four games, four touchdowns. Philadelphia's been terrible against running backs. So what do you think on Josh Jacobs here? Do you agree on Darren Waller? Thoughts on Jalen Hurts? I mean, there's a lot going on in this game, Derek.
Yeah, really good game to target from a DFS perspective. Jacobs, at least 63% snap rate in three straight games, so I like that. I like the matchup. Philly, bottom seven in DVOA against the run. They give up a lot of fantasy points to running backs as well. So, yeah, I never played Jacobs, but this is one of the weeks that I might actually consider him. Unlike Chop, I think Waller's just fine. I mean, he continues to get a lot of targets, and he gives you a high floor. That's kind of rare at the tight end position. And Philly has struggled to cover tight ends on a point-per-dollar basis, though. Give me the other tight end. Give me Dallas Goedert. I'm assuming he is active for all the reasons you guys mentioned. With Zach Ertz no longer with the team, it's a good matchup. And, yeah, to Chop's point, I mean, Jalen Hurts, at least 20 fantasy points in every single game that he's played, you know, all four quarters. I think they pulled him early in week 17 or something last year. But 20-point floor, I mean, that's pretty incredible. So, I love the price point on him, and I like pairing him up with Goddard and bringing it back with Waller and Jacobs. I don't know what to do. I mean, anytime I bet for or against the Raiders, the opposite happens. When I think they're going to flop, they end up playing well, and they are favored here. So I'll just go against them and take the Eagles.
All right, that makes my bet easy since you never get the Raiders right. Yeah. I'll go with I was going to go Raiders anyway. Perfect. And I see what Chop's doing here. He's trying to pine Darren Waller so he can play him in DFS, and he has a huge – just said he sucks. And
I didn't say terrible. Don't play, Darren. You're right. Fraud. I didn't say don't play.
He's a fraud. So, you know, now he's going to come out with 30 points, and Chop will have him in that million-dollar lineup this week.
We'll replay the tape when it happens.
Yep. No, yeah, I didn't say don't play him. I just said maybe he's a fraud. Huh? I didn't say he's for sure a fraud. He's maybe.
Softening your stance there, Chop. But the point is there's a lot of great plays in this game. I agree, Dallas Goedert's one of my favorite tight ends if he goes. Pair him up with Jacobs on the other side. But I'm going to go Las Vegas in this one. I was encouraged with what I saw last week. Road win in Denver, so it seems like they're starting to get back on track, and they're playing for this coach. So Philly, to me, still somewhat of a fraud. I think Vegas wins this one pretty easily. So next game, we start getting into all the big spreads now, guys. We got Detroit and the Rams, 15.5 on the spread here for the Rams, 50.5 on the total. Obviously, a lot of narratives in this game. Matthew Stafford against his former team. Jared Goff against his former coach here. I'm locking into my pick right now. I think the Rams absolutely dismantle this Detroit team. I mean, who knows Jared Goff better than Sean McVay? So the defense will be on point. I think Stafford is going to have a field day here. Darrell Henderson going to be very popular in DFS for good reason. Best matchup you can draw up here. Kupp's been amazing. I think Woods bounces back. So, Derek, we'll stay with you here. It's hard to go wrong with the Rams. Team total at almost 33 points. But I really like going to Matthew Stafford here. Almost leverage off of Henderson. Not that Henderson's a bad play. But in tournaments, I really like this passing game here against Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I'd usually shy away from a 15-point favorite at home. But we saw last week, I mean, the Rams, they were up by like 20-some points, and they were still throwing the ball, you know, late in the second half. I think Kupp got a couple touchdowns. Stafford had a pretty big game. But, yeah, I like Henderson as well. You can pair him up with the defense. Henderson played 81% of the snaps last week, so he's kind of a workhorse role there. Pretty good price point as well. Good matchup for everyone. I mean, you can play all these guys. I don't mind taking the passing route with Stafford, Kupp, Woods, or, you know, taking the correlation play and going with Henderson in the defense. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect from Detroit, but they're going to be playing from behind. Maybe they can get some garbage time production. Amon-Ra, Ray St. Brown was kind of my favorite value play last week. Did nothing the first three quarters. Ended up having a pretty nice fourth quarter. I'll probably go back to the well there. We've seen big receiving outings from Swift, so there's certainly some interesting options if you do think the game's gonna, you know, end up being a shootout. I don't know what to do for my betting pick. Ah, man, it feels like the Rams should smash, but I mean, that's a lot of points, so I'll just take I'll take the over.
All right, over. So Chop, again, my worries with Detroit are Sean McVay knows Jared Goff. He's gonna be able to design the defense to shut this guy down, so it kind of drags the whole offense down with him. Hockenson, it was good to see him bounce back and get a bunch of targets last week. But this is all Rams for me. I think there's a lot of ways that you can attack this game. So what do you got here? Any faith in the Lions and your favorite bet out of this game?
What if he knows Jared Goff so well that they're good friends and he just lets him – push it in the end zone a couple times to make him feel good because he knows he's already going to win. So what if it backfires on us and he gives Jared Goff, what if he puts a defense out there that he knows Jared Goff can attack just to make him feel good about him? Hey, you never know.
Are they good friends?
I thought they ended on pretty bad terms.
Did they? Honestly, I thought they were good friends for a while. I mean, he would whisper the coverage in his ear and during the game. So, I mean, I'm sure they had a good relationship for a while. But, yeah, maybe it ended poorly. But, yeah, I could see DeAndre Swift getting like 10 targets in the fourth quarter in pure catch-up mode. So, even though you get a team like Detroit that looks terrible on paper, you just never can discount things like that. Swift catching a bunch of dump-offs in garbage time. Amon-Ra St. Brown in garbage time. It's all in play. The Rams, they're all in play too. In order to build up a big lead to get garbage time, it's going to come on the back of Stafford and Kupp and Woods and whoever he decides to target. And then once we get to the blowout, then we start seeing Henderson take over a little more. So they're all in play, just like last week against the Giants. You know, everybody's in play for the Rams. So for my pick, I just fail to see how, unless there's garbage time and we get a spread buster, I don't see how Detroit can score enough points to stay within, you know, 17 points or so of the Rams. So I'm going to take the Rams here.
All right, we've yet to agree on anything. We'll see. We got two games left to not even going to be a parlay here. We'll maybe a single bet, but let's move on. We got another big spread here, Chicago and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, big minus 12.5 point favorites here. total sitting at 47. Bears lose a tough one to division rival Green Bay. Tampa Bay just continues to roll here, Chop. So let's go back to you. My concern here with Chicago, you know you can't run against Tampa Bay. They want to run the ball. Khalil Herbert's been impressive over the last 2 weeks. Is this finally a Justin Fields week, Chop? They're going to have to throw the ball. I know it's a low team total here, but do we finally get some yards through the air on Justin Fields? Is he viable in DFS, or is this a steamroll by Tampa Bay here?
I don't think Justin Fields is viable in DFS until we see it, until we see something, because what he's doing now just isn't cutting it, man. So he did get out and scramble a little more and get some rushing yards for you last week. But otherwise, there's something not clicking here. I don't know what it is. I thought he was pretty good at Ohio State, but it's not translating to the Bears right now. So I don't think so. And because he's having problems, it's going to bring the whole offense down. So I'm not on Chicago at all here on their offensive side of the ball. Tampa is what they are. Tom Brady's going to throw for his 300-plus yards. Two of those wide receivers are going to have a good game. One of them is going to have a poor game, and one of them might even have a really good game. So take your guess as to which two it is. I'll probably lean Godwin this week with one of the other two, but who knows? Probably bail out on Leonard Fournette this week. He's looked all right, but I don't want him in this particular matchup. I'm going to pin it more to Tampa Bay. And because I just like the last game, I don't know how Chicago puts very many points on the board. Like, you can pass against Tampa. You can't run, but you can pass against them. Problem is, Justin Fields hasn't shown he can pass on anybody. So I don't know if he's going to be able to do it this week. I think Amazon guy might be here. I think Tampa Bay is my play here.
Now, are you ordering from Amazon or the wife?
No, it's probably for me. I have a subscribe. You know, the subscribe and save from Amazon. You get like 15% off if you subscribe to things, and it comes once every month or 2 months or 3 months. How much every recurring you set it up. I get like a box every month of a bunch of stuff, bath salts and just crap like that. So,
all right, man, living that high life.
Oh, you got to do it. You got to do it, man.
Absolutely. All right, what was the pick here, Chop?
I'm going Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay to blow it out. Tampa Bay.
I agree with Tampa Bay. I hate taking these huge spreads, but if you think about teams that will just lay the hammer down and not let up, it's going to be Sean McVay against his former quarterback, and we know Tampa Bay is going to do the same thing. I'm with you. I don't know how Chicago musters up enough offense. Yes, their defense is good. I don't think it's good enough to shut this team down enough where they keep this game close. So I think Tampa rolls here, Derek. The passing game to me is the way to go. Mixing and matching. No practice for Antonio Brown today, so something to keep an eye on. Maybe we get a little thinner target tree there, but this one to me is all Tampa Bay.
Yeah, first pick on the parlay card. Let's get it going. I like Tampa Bay as well for all the reasons you guys mentioned. I mean, you can't run against Tampa, and all Chicago wants to do is run the ball. But I do have more interest in Fields than you guys, I think, because I think they're going to try to run with Herbert the first couple series. They're not going to get anywhere. They're going to be down 14-0. And they're going to have to just, you know, air it out a little bit. He's so cheap. We saw him scramble a little bit. You know, he's only thrown the ball like 20 times or something. I think we get over that in this one. And he's got some weapons. So maybe pair him up with Robinson, Mooney. They're both so cheap. You can play him with Fields. You can bring him back with anybody you want from Tampa. So I have a little bit more interest in that. But I do think Tampa Bay rolls.
All right, let's wrap it up with the biggest spread of the week. We have Houston traveling to Arizona, which is about the biggest mismatch you could come up with here. Houston, we know, just got whooped up on in Indianapolis. Arizona, an impressive win in Cleveland. I mean, they really put it on the Browns. So, Derek, we'll stay with you. Another huge spread, another big total here. Clearly, the Arizona side is in play. Kyler in a smash spot here. Hopkins, the receivers, the running backs, I think, are still in play. Houston, it's generally Brandon Cooks as you're running back. I don't see many other options here on this team. But betting-wise, are we betting another big favorite here in this one? 17.5, Derek.
Oh, man, that's I didn't like the 15.5 for the Rams. It's going to be tough for them to cover. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to take the under in this game. I think Arizona obviously is going to build the lead, and then I just don't know if Houston's going to be able to move the ball. If they do, it's going to be Brandon Cooks. I mean, he continues to get a ton of targets. I think he's had at least 11 in three of the first six games. So if you do think they're going to score, Cooks is the only guy that you would want to target from the Texans. And we pretty much know everything from Arizona. You know, Kyler's going to play well. Hopkins, I like Rondell Moore with Max Williams out. And Zach Ertz is back in. So maybe I don't like Rondell Moore as much. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would love to target a running back in this spot. But, you know, Edmonds is going to have to score from long distance if he's going to get, you know, two or three touchdowns. And I just don't know if that's going to happen. He continues to have good games. But it's just scary with this biggest spread. They could get up kind of similar to the Rams last week and then kind of rest these guys in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I want to like Edmonds, but your points are valid. I want to like Connor because you could see him kind of salt this game away if they are up big and maybe he scores a few touchdowns, but maybe he doesn't, and then you're risking a play there. So I think on FanDuel, maybe Connor has some intrigue paired with the Cardinals defense. Josh Duck, our boy in the chat, brings up the DeAndre Hopkins revenge game. So I didn't even think of that, but that's a great point, Josh. I appreciate that. Also, there's lots of revenge games this week. There certainly is. So I'm going to go over on this one, Chop. I did this when Houston played Buffalo. I said all they need to do is score a touchdown, maybe 10, 14, and the over is an easy number, and they get shut out in that game. So I hope it doesn't happen again. I do think they can score some points here against Arizona. Maybe they have to backdoor it. But rather than that 17.5, I'll just hope Houston can do enough and push us over that total. So over for me, Chop. Finish this up. What do you got here, Texans and Cardinals?
Yeah, the reason why Arizona is so good this year, their offenses can score points. We've always known that. Their defense is just sneaky, really good, and they're just playing really well. So because of that, I'm not a big fan of the Houston side here. The Arizona side, I think it will be, you know, kind of laughable here after a couple quarters. And, you know, they already know. You're sitting at practice right now. You already know, wow, we're going to blow this team out. I know it's the NFL and we shouldn't be thinking like that, but we're going to blow them out, and this is what we're going to be doing. So by the third quarter, we'll, you know, rotate these guys. That's just the way I feel like they're thinking. So when you get a mismatch like this. So because of that, I don't think I want Kyler Murray this week. I just think it's capped. There's no shootout potential here. Maybe a running back. I do like DeAndre Hopkins in the revenge game, but what's the upside here? They're going to have to target him all first half relentlessly for him to get there, because I don't think they'll be passing very much in the second half. So I do like some pieces of the receiving core, including Hopkins the most, but not a huge fan of this game for fantasy. But because that defense is so good, I can see it going under, like Notorious said, because, you know, you just kind of relax and start running the clock out in the late third quarter. I can see it going over because of garbage time and, you know, Davis Mills hitting Brandon Cooks in garbage time to push it over. So I can see both those happening. But for me personally, I'm going to play Arizona here. Just go with another big favorite. Two of these big favorites got to get there. So I'll just cover all my bases and take all three of them. I just think there's a legit chance Houston might get shut down and held to like under 10 points this week. And if so, spread would look pretty good to me right in that scenario.
All right, Chop, you committed to all unders in the afternoon last week. This week, committing to all the big favorites here. So maybe these underdogs are going to go on a run here. But Rod J in the chat says J.J. Watt revenge too. So yeah, great point there. So more intrigue on that Arizona side. Randy Owens says, great video, guys. See you next week when I'm a millionaire. Randy, we're pulling for you, man. I know you've come close. So I would love nothing better. And then we also had Stafford and Goff revenge we talked about. So revenge, no doubt, our only pick, guys, we agreed on, Tampa Bay -12.5. So I'd love to say bet the house, but coming off the last week and Detroit as our only agreement, I would bet that, but I would tread lightly. So we will bounce back, I promise you that. So we are the DFS OGs. Appreciate you guys for listening. Guys, any final thoughts here for the people week 7? Noto, let's go to you.
Do your guys' kids' school have fall break? I didn't know this was a thing. You know, my little one's in kindergarten, and he's got the whole week of school off. And obviously, wow. I have to watch him the whole time. So, wow. Yeah, he's upstairs by himself. I've already heard like three crashes. He's come down and said he spilled juice everywhere. So I'm excited to see what's upstairs right now. But anyway, well, good luck, everybody, this week.
Better luck to you than whatever we're all going to need. So, we have like little different breaks, midwinter breaks and little long weekends, but never anything like that. So a week, that sounds like a lot. Chop, did do that in Texas? You got them week-long breaks?
No, we have spring break and Christmas break. That's the only break they're going to get in the fall. But yeah, I've never heard of that. But yeah, whatever, man. Whatever floats your boat out there. But it's week 7 now, and we got a lot of stuff going on here: NBA, college, NFL. We even got a little baseball playoff. So it's a lot of things going on. It's fun times. But I'm looking forward to maybe catching a groove here and climbing up that leaderboard, man, on the OGs.
Yep, I hear you. So make sure you guys go and enter the contest. You see the page right there, FanDuel.com/OG. Very easy to understand. Play now, jump in, reserve a lineup. You can view the leaderboard right there as well. And again, it's not too late. If you're just jumping in now, only your top 10 scores count. So plenty of time to climb that leaderboard. So thank you again to FanDuel for sponsoring the show. Thank you to you guys for listening. Great interaction from the chat. As always, always love this hour talking football with you two. And everybody out there. So thank you for listening. For Notorious, for Head Chopper, I am Bear saying salut. Thank you to FanDuel. Get over to FanDuel.com/OG. Thank you for checking us out this week. Good luck this week, guys, and we'll see you next week.